Heavenly Father, as I come before your throne this morning, Lord, I come first just acknowledging who you are, Lord.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died on Calvary's cross for the remission of my sins, Lord.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for your love, Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son. And he gave up his kingdom,
yes,
to come and do your work. So I thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Now, Lord, I pray that as I yield this old vessel over to you this morning, Father, that you use me to be a mouthpiece to feed your people.
Yes.
What thus saith the Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that you give me the strength, Lord, to give them straight Jesus and no chaser. Father, I pray, Lord, that you remove all of me, Lord, that you may rise up on the inside of me. And I pray, Lord, that every heart is open and ready to receive your word, that we may grow thereby. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, let's confess the word of God over the word today and repeat after me and say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am.
What it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I'm a believer,
not a doubter.
I'm a doer,
not just a hearer.
Not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
Amen.
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 Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Today I want to talk to you about going from dryness to dancing. From dryness to dancing. And as I thought about this message today, I thought about one day a guy, much like you and I, paused long enough to look back on his life, and he landed upon this realization. He said, first I was dying to finish high school so I could start college. Then I was dying to finish college so I could start my career. Then I was dying to get married and have children. Then I was dying for my children to grow up and get out. Then I was dying to retire. And now, I'm just dying. And suddenly, he realized that he'd forgotten to live. So my question to you is, could this be the road that you're driving down? Have you often found yourself waiting and hoping and looking for the next thing that could fill the vacuum in your life? So many of God's people are like that. So many often feel stranded in the desert of hopelessness and emptiness. It's true today, and it was especially true at one particular moment in history that can teach us so much when we look back and reflect carefully upon it. In that moment, God's people were dying in the most tragic and inconceivable way. But in their despair, God had a spiritual miracle to show them. And for your edification and mine, he has placed a record of it in his book. So with our eyes and heart focused on that account, I want to take us back to that amazing moment in that special place so that we can learn some special lessons. I want to take us back there to help us comprehend the degree of despondency his people were experiencing then and into which we ourselves can often sink. I want to take us back there to discover how God invaded that place of despair in such a powerful and unforgettable way. And I want to take us there because the promise of Almighty God announced on that occasion and in that location is for all His people, for all time, and that means you and I right now. That place was a disaster area. And it was a scene like nothing Hollywood ever imagined. In fact, only the Spirit of God Himself could fully imagine it. And only in the Spirit of God could it be witnessed firsthand by any human being. And that's exactly what happened to the prophet Ezekiel. If you turn there with me, Ezekiel chapter 37. And it's in that passage we're about to penetrate and look at every detail of this big picture God gave him. In Ezekiel chapter 37, let me know when you get there. Verse number 1 says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me." That right there is a supernatural encounter. The hand of the Lord came upon him in a supernatural encounter and a supernatural intervention in that natural man's life. And he said, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and sat me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones." God's hand took Ezekiel and lifted him above his everyday existence, outside of his normal routine, and beyond his five natural senses. And what he experienced was a vision, yet it came straight from the Spirit of God. It reflected a reality more real even than the physical reality that we perceive around us. He said God's hand carried this man off in the spirit. And what was their destination? Ezekiel tells us that it was a valley. He set him down in the midst of the valley and it was full of bones. Now, Ezekiel had been to this place before. In Ezekiel chapter 3, he had been to this place before. And that same Hebrew word for valley is identical to the term used here in this particular book. And on that occasion, the Bible says that the prophet obeyed and he went there in solitude. And as he sat in that place, it said that the glory of the Lord fell upon him. With such awesomeness that he fell to his face. I mean, can you imagine being in the very presence of God? Would you stand or would you bow? Or would you find yourself falling on your face? And perhaps in this new spiritual vision, Ezekiel was transported to the very same place and expanse of land where he previously had fallen to the ground in the presence of God. But if so, the sight before him now was something different in the extreme that he had earlier encountered. It says that when he glanced around him, it was a broad valley where the Lord had placed him. And he saw that it was a valley full of bones. I'm not just talking about piles of bones here and there, but a valley full of them. It was like one of our government officials today riding around in a helicopter surveying a disaster area. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all there? Yeah. Ezekiel was given a full tour of this strange and gruesome sight. And the Lord showed him a careful inspection of this vast accumulation of human skeletal bones. It says, verse 2, "Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry." not just several bones, very many bones, skulls, shoulder blades, kneecaps, ribs, femurs, vertebrae, hip bones and ankle bones, finger bones, all by the thousands. And not just drab or stale, but he says that they were very dry. As if they had been laying there out in public display, dried up and exposed and baking in the hot sun for a long, long time. And some of us have been going through some things in our lives, baking under the hot sun for a long, long time. But God had a particular command to give Ezekiel in regards to these parched and brittle bones, and very shortly he would provide him with a quite detailed explanation about them. But first, God had a probing question to ask Ezekiel, just as he sometimes has a piercing question to ask us before he reveals anything to us. And he wants us, you know, for what he wants us to do. He says in verse number 3, he said to him, "Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel had just looked at and had a good view of this vast and bizarre scene, and he can't escape the conclusion that life and vitality had escaped and was non-existent in these bones. Bones, of course, are of organic formations developing only as a part of living creatures. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all out there today? Mm-hmm. Where there's bones, then of necessity, at one time, there was once life. Yes. But in these dry bones filling the valley before Ezekiel's eyes, the life was long gone. Could it be restored? Could there be a life? Could there be life again?
Yes.
Where life had totally been departed. The question is, can strength and movement and energy and awareness and responsiveness somehow reappear in these bones who were utterly dead?
Yes.
Your bodies decayed away, leaving nothing but bones. And even those very bones were disconnected and bleached and dry. Is it a miracle? Is a miracle possible?
Yes.
And God wanted to hear Ezekiel's answer, just as sometimes he wants us to carefully assess the true potential of whatever difficulty or situation that we're going through. Perhaps we've concluded that a way out or a remedy or a resolution to our problem is impossible. Our condition or circumstance seems hopeless.
Yes.
But is that really the case? God was challenging Ezekiel to carefully evaluate the situation before him. He required a response. So, of course, Ezekiel gave him one. He said in the second half of verse number 3, he said, "So I answered, O Lord God, you know." You know when people say, "Only God knows," it's the same thing as admitting that they themselves don't know. Ezekiel, he's not a fool. He realized that he didn't possess the answer to God's question. He was confessing, "Lord, this is bigger than me. I myself can't make these bones live again, and I don't know anyone that can either." He said, but only you know whether or not these bones could ever live again. But we so often offer God our human, come on somebody, our human assessment of the problem. Not only do we offer him our human assessment of the problem, but we go on and offer our human solution to the problem. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. You've done it. You telling God what to do. But Ezekiel didn't do that. He wanted God's assessment. And he wanted only God's solution. Oh, don't miss what I'm saying. See, you want your solution. You want your assessment and your solution. Yeah. You don't want nobody telling you what God's...
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Am I right about it? Come on.
Yeah.
Pastor, I need some help. Pastor started to give you straight Jesus, no chasing. I don't want that. I'm going over to see so-and-so. But Ezekiel didn't do that. Ezekiel recognized impossibility when he saw it. But he didn't forget that God is the God of impossibility.
Yes.
Ezekiel must have sensed already who these bones represented. And even if he didn't, God gave him a clear answer. Look at verse 11. It says, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, now you got talking bones right there. You see that? The Lord God, behold, O my people. I'm sorry. They say, our bones are dry and our hope is lost and we ourselves are cut off. So this was a devastating reality. God's people were nothing more than a valley full of wretched bones, pathetic, passionless, and useless. This was an accurate description of their spiritual condition. Like dry bones, roasted and disconnected, skeletal fragments, and nothing more. Only bones that could not effectively work or walk or run. Bones that definitely were incapable of dancing in celebration. That was the deepest reality among the people of God. And that's sadly the reality of the people today. I know I'm preaching better than you, Sam. What would we see today if God was to grant us a personal vision for the true reality and our own spiritual condition? What would you see? Take a look at our nation today. Our family's spiritual condition. Our churches. What exactly would be in that picture? What would our valley be filled with? Well, Ezekiel, he didn't have to wonder. God gave him a clear image, and it showed him that, spiritually speaking, God's people were missing something that was very critical. And that's life. Amen. Those bones were dead. Amen. He said the whole house of Israel was this way. The entire nation, they were all dead and dry. Their miserable inner condition was just as bleak as their outward circumstance. And at this point in history, the Jews had been exiled from their homeland. And in Jerusalem had recently been entirely destroyed. And Ezekiel himself was in Babylon with his fellow captives. And in their captivity, they were suffering from an extreme case of spiritual emptiness and dryness and despair. Doesn't that sound like us today?
Yes.
And God reminded his prophet of the people's groans and cries. It says at the end of verse 11, he says, "Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off." Physically, they felt inwardly drained of vitality. Because spiritually and emotionally and their mentality, they were without hope. They were cut off. Severed from life. Each one of them felt inwardly disjointed. Confused. And disconnected from one another. Their condition was perfectly captured in that vision of valley, in the valley of dry bones that Ezekiel was just looking at. For there was no one to go to for help. Watch this, y'all. When the person next to you is just as dead and dry as you are. Spiritual dryness and dejection and disconnection have become a way of life for them. And it seems like in our churches today, it's become a way of life in our churches. It was the norm, as it is often with so many of us, and it hangs around, saints, for a long, long time, that we begin to lose hope of ever experiencing anything different. But there is some good news. Whenever that's true, God shows us how to change it.
Yes.
He's ready and eager to bring a new reality into existence for us. So it's really action time.
Yes.
It's action time for the church.
Amen.
Somebody ought to say amen to that. The church has been sitting on the sideline far too long. For Ezekiel, in that valley of dried up bones, the moment of action had come. So God was going to perform a miracle, and he was going to use his prophet Ezekiel to accomplish it, to bring about this miracle, and God was simply going to speak his word. His life-giving word, his word that is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. His word that pierces deeply into the innermost division of the soul and spirit and the joint and marrow and discerns there our hearts, even the thoughts and motives.
Yeah.
Hebrews 4:12 says.
Yeah.
And God is going to speak his word through his prophet Ezekiel. Look at verse number 4 again. It says, "And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." He said, speak to them. That's what prophesy means. Talk to these bones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't bring them to the doctor. He said, speak to the bones.
Yeah.
Don't go running to the clinic.
Yeah.
Speak to the bones.
Yeah.
Then he gave Ezekiel a promise to announce for all of God's people. Look at verse number 5. It says, "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live." Surely he said that. "I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." God was promising absolutely everything that these bones needed to become living and active beings.
Amen.
And first and most important, the promise of life-sustaining breath. Notice that he mentioned spirit, breath, twice. He also promised tendons. to come upon them. The promise of muscles and the promise of skin, these bones will be completely restored into to living breath, breathing, active creatures. And more than that, they will be restored to their knowledge of who God is. He said, can these bones live? That's what God was asking Ezekiel. Now, he was going to prove and demonstrate his answer. And Ezekiel did exactly what God told him to do. Look at verse 7. He said, so I prophesied. As I commanded, as was commanded, and as I prophesied, he said, there was a noise. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
There was a noise. There was a noise and suddenly a rattling and the bones came together.
Come on
somebody. You know, he started to speak the word of God to these bones and they became alive. You know, you know when you be at the club and you hear James Brown that get up. Them bones started doing. Come on somebody, you know what I'm talking about. You know that. I'm talking about. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The bones started to come alive. He said, talk to the bones. Prophesy over the bones. And he spoke aloud to these bones and he gave them the message of God. Know what he did? He came into a homologio, the Greek word for confession, which means to agree with God.
Yeah.
He said what God said.
Yes.
How many times did God tell us to say something and we keep silent?
Yeah.
He said, speak the word on these bones.
Yeah.
Speak, watch this. Speak the word in your dead situation.
Yes.
Speak life.
Yes.
And God was faithful to his promise. And he said, and as I prophesied, look at the end of verse number 7. He said, there was a noise and suddenly rattling and bones came together, bone to bone. These bones had been scattered and jumbled like puzzle pieces thrown in a box. But as God commanded, every bone attached to another, linking to other bones exactly where it needed to go. Doesn't that sound like the church, the body of Christ?
Yeah. Mm.
Where there had been disconnection and chaos before, now there was order.
Yeah.
There was shape and framework. And it happened with a great sound, with countless clackings and rattlings of the bone to bone. And Ezekiel could now see full human skeleton, thousands of them, a valley full of them. And then more happened. Look at verse number 8. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. From the inside out, the skeletons were transformed into a full form of human bodies. And all through the simple medium of God's word, he spoke to the bones. He prophesied over them. He preached over them. And the bones began to take tendons. And tendons took muscles. And muscles took on skin. And yet something was still missing. And as Ezekiel learned, he said he looked in verse 8, but there was no breath in them. God had promised breath, didn't he?
Yes.
But as yet, there was none. There was a body and form. There was potential for movement and action and responsiveness, but there was no life yet. And in this vision God was given to Ezekiel and to us, he placed great emphasis upon life-giving breath.
Yes.
Now, in the Hebrew way of thinking, The concept of breath and wind and spirit, they're all closely linked. that the same Hebrew word is used for all three. So that word is ruah, and is used four times in this sentence that God spoke to Ezekiel. He breathed the very breath, the very spirit into these bones. And it's the same thing that he did with when he formed Adam of the dust. Right? And then he wasn't alive until he did what? Breathed the breath of life in him. Look at verse 9. Also he said to me, prophesy to these, he said, prophesy to the breath. Underline that. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds of breath, and the breath on these slain, that they may do what?
Live.
Live. And once again, Ezekiel obeyed what God said. He said, so I prophesied. And as he commanded me, and then breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Where Ezekiel has seen before a valley filled with wasted, wretched bones, now he looked upon it, this awesome sight of a vast, mighty host of living, breathing soldiers ready to do battle.
Amen.
That was a promise. That was a power promise. And in that awesome moment for Ezekiel, God took the opportunity to preach his promise even more. He was sending the prophet back to speak again to the people so that at the close of this vision, he gave them a powerful message to carry with them. And it was the promise about all about resurrection and restoration. Now, it's one thing to see a resurrection. It's another thing to be resurrected. That was a powerful message that he carried with him. Look at verse 12. He says, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves. O my people, and brought you up from the graves. It was also a promise of true life from the Spirit of God. Now look at verse number 14. It's the last verse there. And it says, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So listen to me. If there's no life in you, and you know that there's no life because you're ongoingly dry, that's because the Spirit of God is either not in you. Therefore, watch this, you're not a Christian.
Come on.
Mm.
Come on.
Or he's in you, but not at work for you.
Come on.
If you are dry, it means you have not yet learned to live life based on the Word of God.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Under the control of the Spirit. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Because only the Spirit gives life.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 3:16 says. Right? So he says, prophesy the word. Speak the word to these bones. Then he says, speak the spirit of spirit and bring those, when you bring those two together, John 7:37 says, where God says, he says, I will make my spirit like a well of water to keep you from getting dry.
Mm-hmm.
See, whenever you have water,
you
can't have dryness.
Yeah.
Y'all all right? Did I mess y'all up? Somebody said, I thought I was a Christian. You are a Christian. I'll help you out. See, it was also a promise about knowing God and experiencing his faithfulness. So at the end of verse number 14, he says, then you shall know that I am the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. See, in their day of despair, God was focusing their spiritual eyes on a brighter tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? When the relationship with him would be better than ever.
Yeah.
That's what God wants for us. He's saying when this thing turns around, you'll have a true knowledge of God. When this thing turns around, there'll be no doubt about who God is.
Yeah.
He says when this thing is turned around, there will be no question that there's only one God who sits on the throne. You will discover that I alone am your sufficiency.
Yes.
See, to make these bones live again and to keep them alive. That's God's message for us as well. The good news for you and me is that he has a supernatural turnaround awaiting for us.
Yes.
He has a resurrection and a restoration and a spiritual renewal that will ultimately bring us into more intimate knowledge of who he is.
Yes.
Now you may be despondent because of dryness and passionlessness. And it's become a way of life for you. And you're short on hope that anything could ever change.
Yeah.
You're dehydrating down in the valley. And your bones are sucked dry. There's been a severe loss of life in your spirit and in your mentality. Watch this. In your marriage, in your finances, in your family, in your ministry, in your church, or in some other endeavor or concern that you once thought that was alive. But now the fire and passion is gone. And if we're being honest, you have to admit to God, only you know whether the situation can be fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have the answer. And if you're asking me how to make this thing live again, I say that only you know, because, Lord, I don't have a clue. If you're being honest.
Yeah.
And as you face such desperation, the good news is that you don't have to give up.
Yes.
You don't have to run away. No matter how dry and hopeless you are, these bones can live again.
Yes.
These bones can thrive again. These bones can rejoice again. These bones can dance again.
Yes.
Because God is extending to you his promise of his spirit, his power, his resurrection, and the great awakening. He's saying again, I will raise you from your grave. You know, in the city that we grew up in, Springfield, Massachusetts, there was a man that lived in our community, and he would go around to junkyards and construction sites and things like that, and back alleys, and he would look over stuff that other people would, you know, they had discarded and declared useless and good for nothing. And he looks at this junk as an opportunity for a resurrection. He selects the discarded items he wants, and he takes them back to his garage where he carefully works to fashion them into objects of contemporary art. Some of those things that he resurrected sold for thousands of dollars. Something that was once perceived as being worth nothing can instead be put on display at an art gallery. All because this guy turns trash into treasure. He creates miracles out of junk. He recognizes that this stuff that others discarded is really a miracle waiting to happen. And when you were in trespass and sin, God reached down in all the muck and mire and pulled you out of that worthless state.
Come on.
And he transported you into a brand new kingdom. And he's telling you, he pulled you out of the depths of your grave, and he told you that your dead bones can't live again.
Come on
and stand up and give God some praise. Somebody. Your dead bones can live again if you're willing to let God fill you up with the water.